I really believe that 2025 has the potential to be the greatest year we've ever had in our lives and ministry. So let's talk about it a little bit today. All right, here we are, All Things Apostolic, Monday, January the 27th, and I'm glad that you're with us today, and we're going to have a good time. I know I say this quite often, but I just can't believe how fast time is passing, that we have 1 month of 2025 already behind us. And so if we're going to do something, we should have already been starting. So how is your January? Have you done anything productive? Or are you sitting around waiting on something to happen to trigger you? So January is a pretty important month for us to get things in place here at the school and in our church and other places. There's a lot of activity that's already went on that has set the pace and is setting the pace to spring forward with alacrity in 2025. Hopefully it's the best year we have ever had. We're praying, we're believing, we're trusting for that. And we're looking forward to it. That is if the whole state doesn't burn down before we get through. California's been on fire now for several weeks. And everybody's pointing fingers and blaming others and saying that one of them is saying if they wouldn't have spent all the money on stuff that is some kind of a social change enterprise, that there'd have been money to put water in the fire pumps, in the fire hydrants. And then the president is saying that he told them when he was in office 2 or 3 years ago that they better do something, or 4 years ago or whenever it was, 5 years ago, that they needed to get all the brush cleaned out in these areas of California, which was not done. And now that's the brush that feeds these fires that's about, you know, from 1 inch to 6 feet high. It feeds it, and then it catches the trees, and then the wind catches it, and then it just goes crazy. So anyway, somebody says, well, you know, what do you think about that? Well, I think it's sobering that a big portion of Los Angeles, a significant portion of the northern part of Los Angeles is caught in this, and now there's fires in San Diego area and in between, and on it goes. It could happen many places in California. This could happen, northern as well as southern. Northern's had some of the most major fires recorded in the history of America. So, and that's right here in our backyard. So anyway, so is it the judgment of God? Does it have any spiritual implications? And it's hard to know that sometimes. Sometimes it's pretty easy to jump from this is a natural occurrence to this is a judgment of God. But at other times, that's an ambiguous area where we have to think and probe and see. But we do know that things burning are without a question. They are a form of judgment. In fact, when fire is used in the Bible, even on the day of Pentecost, it is it's connected with judgment. And the Holy Ghost is burning sin down in our lives, burning the dross out of human existence. So even there, fire has that implication. But of course, it also has when it's controlled, it has the enlightening aspect and the heat and the cooking aspect, which are all essential. So I've said many times that the primary necessities for survival, also all of them always have the potential for enormous destruction. And the three primary ones would be water, fire, and wind. And so water, We got big dams up here. If the dam breaks, it's going to be a big mess, and it's going to be very destructive. Or if there's big storms, rainstorms, and snowstorms, where the water comes gushing and rushing down with a volume that the system of drainage cannot contain at all. It's a powerful thing. I have watched in a shop. I have watched a sheet of steel, 4 inches thick. It was a big sheet, like a 3x6 or 4x8 sheet of steel. Of course, the table it was sitting on was very, very sturdy. And this big sheet of steel that was that thick, 4 foot by 8 foot, they had it on this table. And this table was the table of a table saw. And they were cutting it. But the saw that was cutting it was a stream of water. And it was cutting it with such fine cut that you could hardly see any kind of ripple on the cut. The little bitty ripples where the water would move. It was smooth, just as though it had been cut with a bandsaw. So how'd they do that? Well, that water was just that compressed. So all of these things, fire is good. Fire can be judged. Fire, wind, same thing. So here in California, I do think that we're living in the end time, and I do think there will be signs in the sky, and I do think that some of these things at times at least should make us think about judgment that is coming. And so here you hit, there was some poorer areas that were hit with those fires also, but a big part of it was kind of an elite area, and people who never dreamed that that was going to happen. So there's no place to hide except in Jesus Christ. There's no place of ultimate security except in Jesus Christ. So anyway, pray that the whole state doesn't burn to the ground, because we're living here. So, in the middle of all that, there's great things happening. My old teacher surmised years and years ago that maybe the characteristics of the Church of Laodicea and the characteristics of the Church of Philadelphia, the last two churches of the seven churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelation, that they may have some overlap. They may run contemporaneously. They may run side by side. And it kind of looks that way in our world today. You've got, I'm talking about the Apostolic Church and on a broader scale, Christianity in general. You have a cratering effect going on in the Apostolic movement. A part of this has to do with leadership. A big part of it has to do with leadership. And part of the responsibility of leadership is not keeping something just with enough money and enough stuff to progress and putting out new materials. More core than all of that is that leadership keeps the structure attached to its core principles by which it began. So for the month of January here, for example, in the Rock Church, and we're doing it in Wilson University also, there is a going back. Every Sunday there's been a going back in the church, and there will be going backs in special meetings here at the school. It's going back and reiterating the core principles that have got us to this point. And yesterday on Sunday morning, I'm doing the preaching about it, and pastor's preaching Sunday nights and Tuesday nights and whenever. But yesterday on Sunday morning, we did authenticity. That's one of the core principles of the Rock Church. Are we authentic? Are we authentic in our apostolicism? Or apostolicity? Are we authentic in our personal lives? Are we authentic in our spirits, our minds, souls, our bodies? Do we represent authentic Christianity, both dynamically and in appearance? So these core principles, are being, in some cases, abandoned or watered down or articulated in ways that are gentler, kinder, and less confrontational and less polarizing and less important than they historically have been. And that is first and foremost a problem with leadership. It's a problem with leadership. So from every level, right on up, from old people like me that do a lot of things, to pastors, to evangelists, to organizational officials, to the whole spectrum. You have to go through and say, what is the, because creating effect is contagious. And so this one influences this one, and this one influences this one. Then here's one over here, and he says, well, the whole group there, this is where they're going. And so I go, and so like sheep, we get led away from the things that are critical to our survival, and we see people with the loss of their core principles. But this isn't only in the apostolic movement. You can see this in the denominational world. Mainline denominational churches are selling churches. I looked the other day, the Methodist Church in 2000, I think it was 16, maybe 17. The annual budget for that year was $600 million. And then I looked at this year, and it was, as I remember, a little bit over $200 million, $600 million then, $200 million now. And in many places, they have church buildings, but they don't have pastors. And in fact, there are Pentecostal preachers that are pastoring Methodist churches because a Methodist doesn't have a pastor. And so they want a Christian preacher. So here we are. I just read the other day where the Presbyterian Church is losing. They don't have enough preachers. The people are not going into the ministry anymore. And when you look at it and some of the way some of this is structured, you could see why. But so these have mainline churches that have been here for years, and these are serious deficits. These are serious declines that are taking place here. And not only there, but there's others likewise. So now the driving force in the world is Pentecostalism. The driving force in worldwide in Christianity is Pentecostalism, which is growing at a rampant, accelerated speed around the world. That's not a denomination. That's people who would claim to have received the Pentecostal experience as given in the book of Acts. And so all of this is part of the world that we're living in today. Physically, the world's on fire, at least here in California. And then spiritually, the fire is going out in a lot of places and a lot of churches, but not here and not in many other places that have, it's like Philadelphia with Laodicea. Philadelphia has strength. Philadelphia is going forward and doing the work of God. So I want to be in the Philadelphia side, not in the Laodicea side. One of the things that is coming up that we use that's important, it'll only be about a month away, 6 weeks, 5 weeks away, is No Limits, the conference. And No Limits, the conference, is right here in Sacramento, in Elk Grove, at the Rock Church. It's been going now for around 25 years, 23 maybe, 24. It's bigger than ever, and it's in some ways perhaps more important than ever. And I don't know what the order is, but I know on Wednesday night, Brother Caleb Adams is preaching, and Thursday morning, I will be preaching. Thursday night, Miles Young will be preaching. On Friday, I don't know who's first and who's second, but Douglas Walker will be preaching, and Ryan Crosley will be preaching. Ryan Crosley has got one of the fastest growing apostolic churches in America and also one of the largest. And it continues to grow. He told me here a year or so ago that he planned in the next year or two on doubling his church. And at that time, in his main building, I think he was running 800 or 900, and then in the whole complex he was running about 1500 or 1600. A man, you know, I want to hear people that has not only the theory of things, the theology of things, the cognitive ability, knowledge that of things that are important. I want to hear those too. But I want to hear those people that have that, that have figured out how to actualize that in the real world and in the world in which we live every day, the world of existence. And so these are people, there's nobody on that list we named that is not having exceptional revival. Douglas Walker pastors in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. I was just up there a few months ago, and frankly, I was shocked. The church was so absolutely full to the brim. They've got to do something. I don't know what they're going to do, but they got to do something. And it continues to grow as he carefully ministers the word there. And Caleb Adams is without question one of the fastest growing churches in the South or Southeast. And it just continues to grow. I preached there when he first went there, and it was just a little small burg in a very, very dangerous neighborhood. The building was maybe, I don't know, 25 by 40. Not a very big building. They fixed it up, got it going. People started coming, began to grow, bought new property, built a new building, just built a second new building. They haven't been there that many years. Is a tremendous theological mind and actualizing it in spiritual ways. So he's going to be preached. And Brother Young on Thursday night will be preaching, who also, like these guys, have spent a lot of time becoming proficient in Scripture and understanding theological truths and how to extrapolate those truths out of a cognitive base of theology and actualize those dynamically in the day-to-day world in which the church lives and operates, to where it can actually experience revival instead of just reading about it in the Bible. And so this is going to be a tremendous, this is going to be a tremendous conference. There's also going to be three breakout sessions that will be before services begin. And I think one of them's in the afternoon anyway, whatever the schedule is. But Brother Antoine Irvin will be teaching one of these, and Sister Sheila Young will be teaching one of these. The stuff that they're teaching about will be, it's so important, systems that facilitate revival. Systems that refill. It's not enough to have a vision and a mission and be successful in getting things going. There has to be anointed ministry that creates the infrastructure that holds this. You say, well, we're all spiritual. No, not as long as you're in these bodies and as long as we're living on this earth, it's not all spiritual. You have to take care of the financial part. You have to take care of the edifice and the premises and the building. You have to take care of the operational side. How do people work together? How are their jobs defined? And how, what kind of structures do you have? One man can't take care of everything. So how does a church get to be 1,500, 2,000, whatever, and without one man being able to do it all? So how do you put all this? That's really big stuff. Really big stuff. Really important stuff. I believe there are ministries that are anointed to do that. I believe there are managerial ministries where people have a great anointing and an expertise. And these two people, Antoine Irvin and Sheila Young, have that anointing. That's not the only anointings they have, but that is a primary anointing in their lives. And then on Friday, I believe it is, Boston Young will be doing a session on Gen Z. Let's see if I have the name of it here. Developing ministry within Gen Z. Developing ministry within Gen Z. So I just read, personally, I just read this week, I think somebody sent this to me, but I can't remember right now. But Gen Z, their parents were turning away from God and belief in God. But Gen Z, it's all turned around. The majority of Gen Z says, no, we do believe in God. So the door here to this generation is tremendously wide and powerful. And I think Boston's writing his doctoral dissertation on Gen Z. So he knows what he's talking about. So anyway, that's on Friday. And so young ministers and any ministers that want to understand Gen Z and the things that's related to that, that's going to be an opportunity. It's going to be a great time. And we invite you to come. Wilson University had a record January enrollment. And one of the areas in which it was record enrollment was in a was in the Hope Corps curriculum. It is a powerful curriculum. Whether you're going to Hope Corps or not, it's a powerful curriculum. But it is Hope Corps time. And Hope Corps is moving forward. And Hope Corps has made a tremendous positive impact. I don't know how anybody could be opposed to Hope Corps. It just bewilders me that if somebody would say, I'm against Hope Corps. I mean, are you for young people? Are you for the apostolic message? Are you for helping prepare the next generation? And so we appreciate everybody that's got on board. Hope Corps has already made an enormous impact, and it's going to continue. And some people tell me the classes are what impact them most, but many, many others tell me that it is the ITW, it's the intensive training week that is spent somewhere away from home and away from most of normal America. So this year there's three ITWs. One's in Roatan, Honduras. It's June the 19th through the 26th. Some of you may want to put this on your calendar. There's one on June the 26th through July the 3rd. That's back to back in Rosarito, Mexico. And there's one July the 30th through August the 6th. And that's in Los Angeles, California, which is not normal America, but it's a tremendous experience. So all three of these are coming up, and registration for Hope Corps will be opening soon. It won't be very long. So this is exciting. I love young people. I love to see them developing with power in God. And I always am very concerned when I see young people without the opportunities to excel, those that want to. Hope Corps is not for everybody. It's not for the lazy. It's not for those that feel like they already know everything. It's not that. It is for those who have an ardent, deep, sincere passion for discipleship in Jesus Christ that is effective, and people who want to become a causal force in the world for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is what it's for. So anyway, if you've already completed successfully the four Hope Corps courses, which are also called Apostolic Foundation courses, the Apostolic Foundation Certificate, then you would qualify for one of these ITWs. So check it out. Make sure that you don't miss anything great that's coming. So God bless you. We're glad that you're with us today. Don't miss tomorrow with Jennifer Barrett and Wednesday with Casey Sees. God bless you.